This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Jorge Bustamante is a researcher and human rights advocate for international migrants and refugees. He's a professor of sociology at the University of Notre Dame. He has served in various positions on the issue of immigration, including with the United Nations. Professor Bustamante will speak at noon on Wednesday in the South Ballroom at Western Michigan University's Bernhard Center. His address is called DACA Dreamers and the Undocumented, a Human Rights Perspective. It's sponsored by Western Michigan University's Lewis Walker Center for the Study of Race and Ethnic Relations. Jorge Bustamante, thank you for being with us.
Sure.
Let's start with the basic idea of immigration. There's a lot of facets to it, but if we were just going to focus for the moment on the idea of a human rights perspective, what does that mean for immigration?
What it means is that it's a source of empowerment that countries have agreed to protect the integrity of immigrants as human beings, regardless of their migratory status. And that is something that has not been universally accepted in practice, particularly by countries that demand the cheap labor of these migrants. Coming to the present time, the phenomenon of immigration from Mexico and Central America to the United States historically has created peculiar situations, such as the case of these 800,000 of migrants that were brought to the United States by their parents when they were very young. And now, of course, they are adults after having received a public education in the United States. And that's in the period of President Obama, they were protected by what is called DACA. DACA is a permit to stay on a legal basis and to have work in the United States for these migrants that came, regardless of their will, they were brought by their parents to the United States without any documentation, and so they are technically undocumented, and that condition of vulnerability was improved by the decree of this measure by President Obama, which has been a very central part of the debate of immigration in the United States right now. President Trump has initially, in his electoral campaign, has established a threat to deport all documented immigrants from the United States. That means deporting several millions. In fact, the estimate is about 12 million of undocumented immigrants, which even Republicans have stated that would be unfeasible. But it was a promise in the electoral campaign by President Obama. So now he is created conditions of uncertainty by speaking about in favor of DACA from a human perspective, but later on saying that they were going to be deported. So that was particularly the case during the last interview that took place in the White House with the leaders of the Democratic Party in the Senate and in the House of Representatives with President Trump, where they came out of the leaders of the Democrats came out of that meeting saying that they have agreed with President Trump about the continuation of the DACA program. That was on Friday. On Monday, President Trump said that was not true. That was not the case. So they obviously, everything came back to square one. And that condition of uncertainty has been kind of part of the style of President Trump in regard to a number of questions, not only migration, but many other questions. That's part of his style. That's, you know, bringing things to the present time.
So you mentioned in that answer cheap labor. If you are trying to separate out the issue of human rights from the economic questions which surround immigration, can those things be dealt with separately, or do they all eventually kind of come together in a way where you really can't address one without the other?
You're right. And in fact, this is something that, of course, it's two sides of the same coin. The same coin is the phenomenon of undocumented immigration in the United States. That's a reality of several millions of people. The labor condition is actually the result of a power asymmetries between the migrants and those who employ them. And that asymmetry of power, of course, is reflected in conditions of abuse and conditions of violations of human rights. But that asymmetry of power also is related to the conditions that make the migrants all around the world to be subjected to exploitation in the labor conditions, and that is something that produces the ambivalence in many countries, in particular in the United States, of wanting the cheap labor of the migrants on the one hand and rejecting them as members of American society. That ambivalence is part of the American history of immigration.
When you are looking at the human rights of migrants who come to the United States, do you consider the fact that they might have come here, as you said, for the ones who came under DACA? They came as children with their parents before they ever really knew any country to call home. Do they fall into a different category than someone who might have come here as an adult?
Yes, definitely, because DACA is the executive decision from the part of the President of the United States, namely President Obama, to allow these minors, these persons that were brought as minors with no documentation to the United States, and now they are in the labor force, to work in the United States and to be treated under conditions of legal stay in the United States. So that is something that, of course, make a tremendous difference between those that are without that condition, namely their parents. Their parents are that if they enter without documentation to the United States, as it was the case of more than 10 million, then they are subject to deportation, and that has been the case. And President Obama actually promised to deport them all.
And under President Obama, there were a large number of deportations. There were many people who were deported under President Obama, even though he did sign the executive order on DACA.
Yes, that is a contradiction. President Obama broke the record of expulsions of migrants from the United States back to Mexico that had been established by President Bush. And President Obama actually made a higher number of deportations than previously recorded. And but on the other hand, he made this change of using his executive powers to produce this condition of the DACA that actually legalized the stay of more than 800,000 migrants that were under the conditions established by the DACA program.
You said before that immigration is not just a domestic issue. As much as it gets a lot of attention in the United States for the economic implications and other things, that it's a broader issue than that. What do you mean by it goes beyond being a domestic issue for the United States?
Well, because it's almost by definition an international phenomenon that, according to the United Nations Population Agency, involves 230 million of human beings crossing borders throughout the world. And that is something that produces a great variety of modalities in terms of the respect of the human rights of these human beings in the various countries where they are present.
Of course, people look here in the United States and we realize how difficult it is to get comprehensive immigration reform through the United States Congress. If you have to go a step beyond that now and reach agreements with other nations about how immigration is going to be enforced or what the rules are going to be, how difficult is it to get some sort of real agreement between nations on immigration?
It is extremely difficult. It's something that has taken place in a few number of countries, particularly between Mexico and Canada. They have agreed on the labor migration in a very rational way. That is not perfect by any means. It has there are bases for criticism, but nevertheless, it was a very rational approach that actually follows the recommendation of the United Nations that in the cases of international labor migration, the most rational way to solve the conflicts associated with that is bilateral negotiations or multilateral negotiations. But that is as difficult as it has been in the history of labor throughout the world to resolve this asymmetry of powers between the workers and the employers.
You have said that recent election results, mainly I think in 2014, you said when the Republicans took control of the Senate, that was going to be bad news for migrants. Of course, President Trump ran on building a wall between the United States and Mexico and on increasing deportations. So I guess I'm wondering, people who voted for that, is that what they wanted, was to make it tougher on migrants? And if so, what does that mean for the future of the United States and its neighbors?
Well, particularly for the future of migrants themselves, it's a very dark scenario in the future, very ominous future, because there is no question that the hundreds of thousands of followers of President Trump, in terms of his ideas of building a wall and expelling the undocumented migrants, that is something that that of course produces a very ominous scenarios, not only in the United States but many other parts of the world. Look at Europe and the political scenarios in Europe are increasingly pushing for restrictions for immigration. That of course Germany with under Madame Merkel has been an exception, but paradoxically her victory in the last elections in Germany has produced a stronger reaction of anti-immigration in Germany, as you know. So the United States is not alone in producing these conditions of a dark future for migrants.
Well, what's the answer to that? In the United States, at least, people seem to have wanted fewer immigrants, I guess it's fair to say. Someone in your position who has, argued for the human rights of immigrants, what do you say to the people in the United States who seem to be agreeing with the idea that there should be fewer immigrants, that people who come here illegally should be deported, etc.?
Well, I think that it requires a new leadership that calls the attention of the American public of the facts about migration that have been sponsored by the National Academy of Science of the United States, that have found that migrants pay taxes, that migrants are a positive factor for the economic development. That's something that has been a consensus of the most prestigious economists in the United States. However, that's counter to an ideological force that that is full of xenophobia and racism against the migrants, and that it seems to be at the present time being predominant in the United States, and that, of course, it's reflected by the positions that President Obama has taken. And that ideological conditions are illustrated by the words of President Trump in his electoral campaign when he said that the Mexicans are a bunch of criminals, rapists, that come to the United States to do harm. That, of course, was said with absolutely no basis whatsoever, but it was believed by his followers that are in the hundreds of thousands.
Should there still be, however, some enforcement, I guess, along the border? I mean, is it wrong to think that there should be some way of limiting the influx of immigrants, you know, done in, you know, maybe not quite the way that President Trump has spelled it out, but is there a way that the U.S. can, to maybe use your words, humanely have some border enforcement and to also have some mechanism by trying to ensure that the people who come here, for the most part, are here legally?
Absolutely. That's perfectly possible. That has been done, as I mentioned, between Mexico and Canada. However, the difficulty is the strength of the power of the ideologies, of anti-immigrant ideologies that I alluded before. But the rational solution to the problems associated with immigration certainly is what has been recommended by the United Nations, bilateral negotiations. And these negotiations, of course, should accommodate, like in any labor negotiation, should accommodate the needs of the and interest of the two parties. And like in any labor dispute, a rational approach is to have positions that would actually enter into a context of willing to compromise. And that certainly would be the case of Mexico, that would have to accept restrictions of the border migration flows, and from the part of the United States offering conditions of respect of the human rights of the migrants.
Jorge Bustamante is a professor of sociology at the University of Notre Dame. He will speak at noon on Wednesday in the South Ballroom at Western Michigan University's Bernhard Center. Thank you very much for your time.
Sure. Thank you.
Jorge Bustamante's address is sponsored by Western's Lewis Walker Institute for the Study of Race and Ethnic Relations. It's called DACA Dreamers and the Undocumented, A Human Rights Perspective. You can find links with more details at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.